This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is that time of year again. Fantasy football drafts are coming quickly. I've got a couple scheduled for the next few weeks in August. John Hansen is the fantasy guru, one of our favorite experts on fantasy football to have on the show. He's on Twitter at @fantasy_guru if you want information as you get ready for your drafts. He joins us now. John, how many leagues do you normally play in, and when do you typically draft for your leagues?
Well, we always want to draft after the third preseason game, if at all possible. I know a lot of people like to get together physically together, old college buddies and all that. Sometimes drafts are held a lot earlier than they should be for timing, but ideally you're doing it online, and you're doing it really the week before week one is ideal, that Tuesday, Wednesday night after Labor Day weekend and leading up to the Thursday night opener is the best time possible. I'm not in as many leagues as I used to be. I kind of max it out at like 5 or 6 or 7. They're all like expert leagues and things like that. And I'm more concerned because I've been in this business for 22 years. I've won a lot of various expert leagues and all that. It's not really about that anymore. All I care about is my advice. I root for my advice more than my own fantasy teams now. I just want to get this stuff right.
Hey, John, how do you view rookies in general? I generally take the philosophy of I let someone else fall for the hype. Most of the time, I feel like it works out for me, and then sometimes I pass on Ezekiel Elliott. How do you view guys? I'm thinking maybe specifically this year, like Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey, and maybe some others, but how do you generally view rookies? Do you let other guys go for it, or do you buy in sometimes?
You know, it's a case-by-case basis. Sometimes I do buy in because sometimes there is, you know, a buying opportunity. Now, granted, last year Ezekiel Elliott was kind of unique in that, well, we all knew he was really, really good. You know, I had him in my top 10 overall, which is kind of rare. But with a guy like Leonard Fournette, I mean, it could be a little bit of a buying opportunity with him because obviously he's an unproven commodity. He's not really done it yet. He is someone you can get maybe in the third round. And next year, heck, he could be a first rounder next year. Running backs are getting a lot of love, by the way, this year. And I think that's dangerous. We can get into that. But sometimes it's a buying opportunity. But oftentimes you're right. Players are kind of overhyped based on brand name recognition. I mean, for example, I love O.J. Howard in Tampa Bay. I think he's going to be outstanding. But he's going as a top 12 tight end. Well, that's not going to work out because he's a rookie, and that's a really difficult position for a rookie. And he's sharing time with Cameron Brake. So sometimes the brand name recognition of a rookie can cause him to be overvalued. But again, other times there are buying opportunities, and heck, look no further than Samaje Perine in Washington, who I think is going to beat out Rob Kelly eventually and be the main guy. I think he's more talented than Rob Kelly. But, you know, Rob Kelly is opening camp as the number one, so Perine is suppressed a little bit. You can get him like 100 picks into a draft, and I think that's a worthwhile flyer.
Completely agree with you. We'll get to rookies in the running back position in a second, but I want to even go bigger on the board than that. If you're picking first overall in a PPR league right now, typically every year you know who to take, but there's a debate between Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson at number one, and I would even say maybe Antonio Brown as well. How do you sort out the top of the board, and are those three guys decidedly ahead of Ezekiel Elliott with a potential suspension coming?
Yeah, that suspension is a little bit of a monkey wrench. I don't personally think it's going to be significant, like 3-4 games. But look, it's just a guess. No one really knows what the NFL is going to do with this. But the David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell argument, it's a viable discussion, obviously, because of Le'Veon Bell being such a unique player. He wants to be paid like he's two people, basically, because he kind of is. But guess what? So is David Johnson. If you isolated just his receiving, he'd be top 30 in all receiving categories as a wide receiver. To me, it's not a debate because Le'Veon has, well, he's missed time. He's missed a lot of time. He's been suspended a couple of times. He's had 2 to 3 serious injuries that have cut his season short. Whereas David Johnson on the other side, week 17 last year, he had that knee injury. I was like, oh my God, this is not good. His status for week one is in doubt. Well, he probably could have played in May. So durability is amazing with this kid, David Johnson. To me, it's a slam dunk, no-brainer. David Johnson is much safer than Le'Veon, and he also has the explosive upside of a Le'Veon Bell as a true three-down back who can do it all.
Got to follow John Hansen at @fantasy_guru on Twitter. He knows his business. Joins us now on Grant and Danny. John, let's go to where the value is. You know, I always like to be either, the run on a position happens. I like to be stockpiling a different asset. I like to never kind of fall for that in my drafts. Where do you think the great value ends up being in this draft? Waiting a couple rounds for what?
Well, I'll tell you, you're always best served waiting on the quarterback. Although I think Tom Brady is a little bit of an exception in my mind this year. I've never really wanted to push quarterbacks early. I like Kurt, guys. I love Kurt. Love Kurt this year.
You and Bruce
Kurt,
both.
Probably like him more than Bruce.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Kirk Cousins is actually a really good example of a value with a quarterback. I think that your best chance always to form the best starting lineup is to hold off on quarterback and tight end. I'm all in, by the way, on Eric Ebron this year, and granted, it could hurt me, but look, it's screaming from the rooftops here. Year four, he's gotten better. He's a good athlete, obviously, very good. Anquan Boldin has got a lot of targets, red zone targets, all that. He's going to get it done and go down as a great pick if he can stay on the field. But your best chance to form the best starting lineup is to hold off on those two positions. But you do bring up a very interesting point, which I think may be the key to fantasy drafts this year. People are short of memories. I am someone who's been doing this for so long that I kind of say the same thing every year, and people are, previous to this year, last year, last summer, this time, people were really worried about the running backs. I wasn't, because I recall the year before 2015 to 2014, the running backs were outstanding. So if you use an early pick on a running back, it worked out. 2015 was terrible. So in 2016, people were really cautious about the running backs. They were sliding. They were good values and all that. And people were all in on the wide receivers. Well, fast forward to this year, after a good year by the running backs last year, everyone's all back in on the running back. So you're going to see 6 to 7 go in the first round. So I think they're a little overvalued, and I think the wide receivers are undervalued. So some guys that stand out at wide receiver to me, Doug Baldwin, if you can get him in the third, love him. Love all the Redskin guys. I know they all can't come through, but I really do like Josh Dotson. Is, to me, a slam dunk. If he can get to 100%, the kid is a baller. I mean, I'm 100% convinced that he's going to do well. I like Terrell Pryor as well, and Crowder, of course, is amazing. But the value this year, I think, is at wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, guys like that, even Dez slipping down the board a little bit. Golden Tate, a guy who doesn't get any love, all he does is catch 90 balls. Guys like that are values. Even Brandon Marshall in your division, his ADP is around 71. I've got him at like 50 off the board. So that's where you're going to get the value this year, the wide receiver position. Now, all that said, I will say this. The talented running back does fall off a cliff after like the top 12. So it would behoove you to get one, just get that one high-end guy, first-round pick, that's fine. But after that, you don't have to address running back. Don't go running back, for example, to start a draft, because you're going to take a shaky running back over a really nice wide receiver, most likely, to do that.
If I'm drafting in the middle of the first round then, and I've got a chance on a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., who's added an elite wide receiver with him, I wonder what that does for him. Or should I go with like a Mike Evans or an A.J. Green? What are you expecting from OBJ now that they've brought Brandon Marshall in?
Targets are going to be down. The hope is that he can just be a little bit more efficient. I watched the Giants last year. I think one of the problems with Eli Manning, the O-line wasn't very good, but it was just not healthy. He was force-feeding the ball to Beckham Jr., and that caused problems over the course of the entire season. So I think he'll be fine. I'm sure Brandon Marshall will help at times, take some pressure off him, but I kind of like the other side of it with Marshall getting the better matchups opposite OBJ. But look, I'm fine with OBJ as a special elite athlete, and I think the offense will improve this year. Mid-first, no problems whatsoever with OBJ, Mike Evans, Jordy, A.J. Green. But like I said, you do want to get one high-end running back. So if I were you, Grant, and I had the fifth pick, I want to take OBJ, no problem. I'm fine with it. On the way back, you better be sure you get Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard, Melvin Gordon. I'm not a Gordon guy, but, you know, the guy's going to get a boatload of touches. Make sure you get that stud running back to kind of solidify your spot there at the top of that position, because if you pass on running back, boy, you're hurting. Yeah, you're you know, it's not impossible, but you're going to be hurting. So I'm no problem with the wide receivers. I think they are safer, but I do want to get that stud running back with one of my first two picks.
John, who will not end up on any of your rosters over the various leagues over the course of the year? Be they overhyped, be they, you know, just someone you don't like this year, et cetera. Who will you not own?
Well, Cam Newton is, boy, they're asking a lot of Cam Newton. And I love Christian McCaffrey, but it pains me to say maybe Christian McCaffrey's on this list, because they're almost completely retooling this offense and not going to have Cam run quite as much. He's not a great scrambler, honestly, when it's not a designed run. He's coming off a horrible season. And now, look, he's a big chunk guy. We know that. He runs and all that. Diverse rushing attack. It's been great. And big chunks through the air. He's not a timing and anticipation guy. He's not a precision guy. In fact, on passes aimed 5 yards or fewer, per Pro Football Focus, he's the worst passer in the league last year. So all of a sudden now we're expecting him to be able to get the ball to Christian McCaffrey in the short to intermediate area as a dump-off option. You know, their running backs last year totaled 45 catches. If McCaffrey gets only 45, we're going to be really disappointed. So, but I think Cam will probably find a way to have fantasy respectability, unlike last year. But, boy, that's a lot to ask. I'm very concerned about that situation.
John Hanson is the fantasy guru, and nobody is better to talk fantasy football with than him. Hey, real quick, before I let you go, I know you've been for over two decades turning out a publication. Where can people get it?
FantasyGuru.com. We just launched a brand new website, deal with StatSync, all kinds of tools that will blow your mind. 23 years now we're in. And by the way, there's only one company that tracks the experts, FantasyPros.com. Over the last 2 years, FantasyGuru.com, number one out of 140 experts. And for your listeners, a discount promo code, Hanson, H-A-N-S-E-N, 1-7. Hanson, 1-7. Save 15% off the price that it was in 1995. I mean, what can you buy for less than it cost two decades ago other than fantasyguru.com subscription?
Love it. John, always love having you on, man. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate the time and insight.
See you later.
Thanks, buddy. John Hanson is a stud. Love having him on. Can't get enough of this Lucky Whitehead story, by the way. He says the Cowboys called him a liar released him, and he was right all along. Next on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.